Radio EcoShock.
First, we go to one of the biggest geophysical changes on this planet ever caused by a single species. Earth has just over 200,000 glaciers, we know that now, and they are splattered all over, from Alaska to the Andes, from Scandinavia to Nepal, Africa, all over. Around 100,000 of them will be gone during the lifetimes of our children due to climate change. Let's get this breaking science directly from the lead author. Hundreds of thousands of glaciers around the world could vanish in coming decades, and that loss doesn't even include Greenland or Antarctica. These non-polar glaciers will add significantly to sea level rise. We talk with the lead author of the January 2023 paper titled Global Glacier Change in the 21st Century: Every Increase in Temperature Matters. Dr. David Rounce is Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University. David previously conducted postdoctoral research in the Glaciers Group at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He leads a team who measured every glacier on the planet, and the news is not good. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, David Rounce, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me here.
Did you really manage to map every glacier in the world?
So mapping every glacier in the world is a large effort that a group of international scientists have done over the last decade. We took their glacier inventory as a set of initial conditions for our study, and then we projected the future change of all of those glaciers, all 215,000 of them, for various climate change scenarios.
So we tend to picture giant glaciers calving off Alaska or Greenland. We've seen video, or a few have seen it from cruise ships maybe. But there can't be 100,000 of those big ones. So what qualifies to be a glacier?
The typical definition of a glacier involves some amount of ice based off of a size threshold and its ability to move. So you have snow that accumulates and remains and turns into ice over multiple years, and you have some amount of glacier flow.
Right. So if it's just a frozen pond and it stays there and doesn't move, that's not a glacier.
Correct. It's up for debate depending on who you talk to, but typically that's how people consider a glacier.
Okay. So in 2019, there was a funeral with all the trappings in Iceland for a glacier that went extinct. So even small glaciers have their fans. Do these small glaciers play any stabilizing role in local water cycles, or could they influence regional weather?
It depends on the scale of the system that you're looking at. When we think about glaciers, even small glaciers, they can certainly be a source of fresh water, especially at the end of summers during periods of drought. However, we also want to recognize that glaciers can be very important for other reasons, whether it be ecotourism, or it can have a cultural or a spiritual significance to the local communities. And so the loss of even small glaciers can be quite important.
Well, looking at glaciers outside the poles, your study considers scenarios from 1.5 degrees C warming all the way up to 4 degrees warming. Most scientists I talk with are done with 1.5. That is imminent. How much will these glaciers add to sea level rise if warming reaches 3 degrees?
So we estimate that the glaciers' contributions to sea level rise, and that's excluding the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets, for a 3-degree scenario, that will be approximately 125 millimeters between 2015 and 2100.
Okay, so if I read your paper correctly, for our American listeners, 3 degrees of warming could mean these glaciers by themselves would add anywhere from 3 to 6 inches higher seas. Would that sound about right?
That is about correct, yes.
Okay, since emissions are not coming down, more scientists are at least considering 4 degrees of warming as possible. David, if we go that 4-degree route, what do these glaciers add to sea level rise by 2100?
At 4 degrees, we're at about an additional 154 millimeters, or about 6 inches.
Okay, so it's fair to say that if emissions continue, non-polar glaciers would add 0.5 foot of sea level rise.
That's roughly fair to say. Non-polar, there are glaciers located in polar regions that we do account for, but yes, all of the glaciers excluding the ice sheets, That's correct.
Now, how does the sea level rise expected from these, what I will call nonpolar glaciers, or the glaciers other than Greenland and Antarctica, how do they compare with what is going to come from Greenland and Antarctica?
So currently, the glacier contribution to sea level is the same as the ice sheets, if not slightly greater. Over time, in the future, and this has been a primary focus of many studies, especially large assessment reports like the recent IPCC AR6, they show that the contribution to sea level rise from the ice sheets will be significantly larger than the glaciers well into the future. Although it is important to note that even for the 4-degree scenario, the glaciers will be losing roughly 40% of their mass, which means there will still be approximately 60% of the glacier mass, and so glaciers will still be an important contributor to sea level rise even beyond the end of the century.
Are these glaciers melting at a rate that is step by step with global mean temperature, or will local heat strike some glaciers before others?
There certainly are some regional variations, and that was one of the important things that we were able to consider within our study, because we have this new data set of glacier mass change for every glacier globally between the years of 2000 and 2019. And by using that data, we have a very detailed and complete picture of the spatial variation in mass change. So there will definitely be different regional signals. There already are in present-day mass change, and there will be in the future as well. And part of this is there are a variety of processes that will affect the regional temperature anomalies compared to the global mean temperature anomalies, such as Arctic amplification, for example.
NASA said melting of the massive Thwaites Glacier in Antarctica is now unstoppable. That's the word they used. Is there now a commitment in non-polar glaciers that some will melt away no matter what we do?
There's certainly going to be a committed mass loss of these glaciers. Typically, when we think about committed mass loss, we think about a stabilizing scenario based off of where we are at present-day temperatures. We don't model that specifically in our study, but as you alluded to, if a degree and a half increase is very likely to happen, we can use that as sort of the baseline scenario for what we can expect. And in that case, we're expecting to lose about 26% of the glacier mass globally, and that translates to losing about 49% of the glaciers by number. It's a larger number because most of the glaciers that are lost are smaller, and most of the glaciers in the inventory are the smaller glaciers. They're not the large glaciers that are calving into the ocean that you mentioned at the start of the show. But there will be significant losses of glaciers even if we reduce the temperature increase to a degree and a half.
Aside from rising seas, you have studied another hazard during the warm-up, glacier outburst floods. What are they, and could you give us an example?
Sure. A glacier outburst flood is when there is glacier meltwater that is stored either within the glacier or behind a terminal moraine that used to be the end of the glacier. So as these glaciers retreat, they leave behind a moraine that acts as a natural dam. And that natural dam can start filling up with water, and those are referred to as proglacial lakes. And so a glacial lake outburst flood is when those proglacial lakes drain suddenly. They drain rapidly. A common cause of why that happens is some sort of mass movement that enters that lake, whether it be a landslide or an avalanche, for example. But it can also be because there is an ice core within that moraine and that ice core melts out as well. And these can be quite devastating, especially to local communities that are close by these glacial lakes, but it can also have really significant impacts downstream, both on communities or especially hydropower systems as well.
Yeah, I remember stories about a 2013 glacier outburst in Pakistan, and it turns out Pakistan has a lot of glaciers, but that one killed thousands of tourists and religious pilgrims, if I remember it right. These things can be deadly, and they can also rearrange the landscape, isn't that true?
They can be deadly, and history has shown us that they are, and they are highly erosive. Many of them turn into debris flows, which is when you have a very high amount of sediment entrained in the floodwaters, and they can be incredibly erosive as well. So it does change the local system, the local river systems, by quite a lot.
The title and approach of this paper suggest action to control temperature rise would have measurable benefits in controlling sea level rise and saving glaciers. What message are you sending about that?
Yes, that's a very important point, because while we're locked into a certain amount of mass loss, even if we reduce the temperature increase to a degree and a half, what we show is that there's a substantial difference between a degree and a half, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and 4 degrees. As you mentioned, it's a difference between about 3 to 6 inches. And so when we think about our ability to act as a society and have an impact, we have the ability to prevent a lot of the glacier's contributions to sea level rise, and we really have the ability to save a lot of these glaciers. In the event that we go to a 4-degree temperature change scenario, the number of glaciers that we lose is approximately 83%, and that's a huge difference compared to 49% associated with a degree and a half temperature increase. So we really want to stress that we as a society can make a difference.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
You are listening to Dr. David Rounce, an expert in glaciers. He leads new science warning glaciers outside the poles are melting away and disappearing. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. One ice watcher, David, suggested 4 top glaciers to watch, and they were talking about the Prasina in the Italian Alps. I think it's the Chechen in the Swiss Alps. There's the Columbia Glacier right near me in Canada's Rockies, and, of course, the famous Himalayan glaciers. Do you personally keep a list of glaciers that you're watching or that you are really interested in?
I do have my own affinity for some glaciers, primarily the glaciers that I've visited in the past. So we currently are working with USGS, the United States Geological Survey. They conduct a glacier monitoring program every year, and one of those glaciers is Galkana Glacier, located in Alaska, and we're working on field work with them. So that's a glacier that I typically look at quite a bit. I've also had the good fortune of, during my PhD, to do work in the Nepal Himalayas, specifically the Everest region. So I also have an affinity for Khumbu Glacier in Nepal and the Dzungpa Glacier, Imja Lhotse Shar. A lot of my work during my PhD was on those glaciers, and so I always take a look to see how they're doing in these future scenarios as well.
So your classroom was on the ice?
It was. I did a lot of remote sensing while I wasn't out there and a lot of modeling, but being in the field was incredibly valuable to understand these systems.
David, do you expect tropical glaciers in South America and Africa to disappear? And if so, what does that mean for the farmers? And there are cities in South America that depend on glacier water.
We do expect to see significant losses in the tropical regions, especially in areas, for example, like Ecuador and Peru and the Cordillera Blanca. In those regions, we do project that there will be considerable glacier mass loss, and in some temperature change scenarios that there will be deglaciation occurring in those areas as well. When it comes to water resources associated with the loss of those glaciers, it will be a change because those glaciers do provide a source of fresh water, especially, as I mentioned earlier, during those times of drought. So if that water is able to be stored behind a natural moraine and that can serve as a reservoir, then that might be able to offset some of those changes. But there is going to be important adaptation strategies that are needed in order to adjust to a life without those glaciers.
Europe just set crazy record high winter temperatures in January, but I'm presuming that this ice melting process is slow enough that blips of hot weather don't matter that much. But what about if you have a summer that's 3 months long of very high heat? Does that speed the melting?
That can considerably affect the trajectory of these glaciers. For example, what we observed in Central Europe last year, especially with the warmer winter followed by the heat waves, they experienced considerable mass loss. It was percentages of the total mass of ice that is currently present. And when that happens, while it is an anomaly, or we hope that it will be an anomaly, it's likely that events like that will become more frequent in the future in response to climate change. But those events can certainly speed up how quickly these glaciers are being lost.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change includes reports on glaciers and world ice as they relate to climate. How well are they doing with their modeling and projecting glacial ice loss, and how does your new paper plug into all that?
So hopefully our results will be used within the next IPCC assessment report. And really, the work that we've been doing, we are building on the previous models, on the previous contributions to the data that supported those assessments. And some of the major improvements that we now have access to are new observations of the glacier mass change of every glacier globally. And this is data that simply wasn't available to calibrate models prior to the assessment report. And so these advances, whether it be in the data calibration or how we model different processes, our hope is that we are able to refine projections and continue to improve those in the future such that we have a better understanding of what the glacier changes will look like.
Well, with hundreds of thousands of glaciers, you must be doing some of this from satellite mapping. Is that correct?
The observations that we are using currently are all from satellite data.
Is there a central body watching the speed of glacial melt around the world?
There are efforts, international efforts, that are being led to bring together scientists. The IPCC is a great example of a framework that brings together all of the latest studies and all of the scientists accepts contributions from anyone, and then it synthesizes all of those different studies to come up with a cohesive picture as to how the glaciers are changing. There's also a number of different campaigns that go out and regularly take in-situ measurements of these glaciers, such that we have these benchmark glaciers that have been measured for decades, in some cases close to 100 years, and that gives us a sense as to how these glaciers are responding to climate change compared to their past.
As we wrap up here, I'm wondering, what are you working on now?
We're working on a variety of projects, ranging from very detailed in-situ measurements in the field, as I mentioned on Galkana Glacier, all the way to continuing to improve projections of glacier change. So a lot of the field work that we're doing, we're really focusing on taking detailed in-situ measurements of the elevation change of the surface mass balance. And in doing so, we have the ability to try and scale up those measurements using satellite observations. We're also really interested in a project that we just received funding for that is looking at the impact of wildfires and extreme heat waves on glacier mass change in Alaska. We want to understand the feedbacks associated with the changes in these processes and how they change the glacier surface and how we can account for those processes in future projections as well.
Wildfires and glaciers. That sounds like interesting work. I'll be looking forward to it. From Carnegie Mellon University, we've been speaking with Dr. David Rounce. He led the new paper, Global Glacier Change in the 21st Century, Every Increase in Temperature Matters. Find links to follow up in my weekly show blog, published Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. David, thank you for telling us about these glaciers.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
This is a climate emergency. Find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org. No sign up, just the latest info, free for all. ecoshock.org.